Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome to Made Whole Radio with MG Page. I am so excited to be here with you all on a Saturday morning. It's been a little bit since we've been on the air. As you all know, if you've been following along with us, we try to come on at least once every month. And there have been some phenomenal topics that we have been discussing up until this very moment. And the last topic that we discussed went about three different parts. There were three parts to that topic. If you all remember, we discussed toxic-free living. And, I mean, the feedback that you guys have given has been tremendous to let us know that you are very much interested in wholeness, amen, and being well, according to 3 John 2. That's the reason we're here. We want to encourage and empower each other to live the abundant life that Jesus paid for us to have and to live a consecrated lifestyle before the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us that our bodies belong to God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right. And so we just want to encourage each and every one as you're listening, grab a piece of paper, your notebook, your journal, your iPad, a pen, your stylus, whatever it is, because this morning we have an awesome, awesome man of God, pastor and teacher, Kevin Battle. He's the guest host of Progressive Truths That Transform, which is a weekly prayer and Bible study teleconference every Saturday morning. I have gone on and been blessed and encouraged and rejuvenated and challenged. Amen. Because I think a lot of times we get too much sugar cookies in our diet. We don't like, you know, Brussels sprouts and spinach and things, but we hallelujah, we have to have the fullness of God's word. Amen. At some point, we have to move from milk to a little more, you know, a heavier food. Come on. And like the man of God says, substance. We need some meat at some point. All right. Well, anyway, he's an awesome anointed man of God, and he has that program on every Saturday. I'm going to post the information for you all on the page after the broadcast. He is in the outreach field of ministry in Forest, Mississippi, and he's a member of the Word of Outreach Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the pastor is Bishop Robert Smith. He's been in ministry for 30 years, people. So we just thank God for true men and women of God. We thank the Lord for people who are in the vineyard, amen, gathering up this end time harvest, setting things in divine order, being anointed and appointed by God, amen, not just going, amen, but being sent by God, and he is one of those precious people. Pastor Battle, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Amen. It's such a blessing. Welcome to Made Whole with MG Page. I'm so happy that you could be here with us on this morning to discuss this topic. And I must say that as I was praying about the topics for this year, because as you know, this is a new radio program that's been launched from the beginning of this year in January. The Holy Spirit told me that we needed to discuss alcoholism. And I said, well, Lord, I don't really know who I could get to really expound on that topic. I mean, I can speak from the vantage point of my own testimony or, you know, what I've witnessed in my family, but there's something different when you can come from a perspective of biblical sound doctrine and knowledge to be able to, you know, compare line upon line and precept upon precept. And so I thank God for giving us you, amen, to school us and help us on this topic. You're welcome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Amen. Just a joy and an honor to be here. Thank God.
Amen. I want to ask you, when we talk about alcoholism, you know, especially in our society today, we have witnessed and seen the world has changed over the years as it pertains to the laws and, you know, different programs and, you know, systems that have been created by the world to deal with alcoholism, with DWI and DUI and, you know, SAD and MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Students Against Drunk Driving. And yet we still have a real, real issue with alcoholism. And we also have, as you know, there are Christians that believe it's okay to drink. We have an epidemic among children, not just teenagers and adults, but young babies that are exposed to alcohol. Would you please tell us, how does God view alcohol? How does God view alcohol?
Well, God never intended for man to really consume alcohol. Now, you might say, well, in the Bible, there are scriptures that allude to that. Well, what happened was is that when man was first created, man did not have the Holy Spirit of God. So you'll see a variety of Old Testament scriptures to say drink wine to be merry, because wine was a substitute of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have God in them to be the source of joy. You ever notice how when Christ spoke about the Holy Spirit, he said it should be like a well springing up out of you. You should be like rivers of living water. It brings a joy and a contentment and a happiness. Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't back in those days. And therefore, in the Old Testament, you'll see what you call types and shadows, of that which is for to come. And in actuality, about in every human being, there's about 3 grams, 3 small little grams of alcohol in you. And it's actually necessary for the body to function because it aids in killing dead cells, bad cells, bugs, and all kind of things that are harmful to the body. Because alcohol actually is ethanol within your body. And your body creates it naturally. And it's actually for the fighting away of germs and diseases and things of that nature. So it was never meant to be consumed by man, because your body automatically produces it to work in you in a health-wise manner.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. When you were saying that, the word that came to me was when the Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
God never intended for us to consume. And people will say, well, if he created it in us, or if it's out there to drink, then why would it be wrong? I tell people, when you ask questions like that, it kind of alludes to the fact that we're kind of more carnal than spiritual, so I have to use a natural example to help us understand. If I take a single aspirin because I have a headache, the headache will go away. If I take a bottle of aspirin, I never have a headache again.
Right. Wow. That makes so much sense. Yes.
Yeah, it. Whenever we overconsume or overcompensate for what God has already done and created to work right, it always ultimately ends in death and destruction.
Absolutely. Wow. Amen. So that you know, is that leads me to the next question: is it lawful for Christians to drink? Because you know how we like to pull scriptures and say, well, you know, Jesus turned water to wine, and Paul told Timothy to drink some wine for his stomach's sake, you know.
Amen. In Proverbs chapter 20, very well-known scripture for a lot of believers, and I'm a teacher, so I always like to just go to the Word. I don't like to talk much without referencing what I read. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, God says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Notice, and it goes on to say, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So God says, to drink is, you're not wise. It also says it is a source of deception. It also says drink would make you enraged. And then it turns around and say wine is a mocker. When people hear that word mocker, they don't really translate it right, because a mocker is actually, in essence, it's the spirit of Antichrist. That's
oh,
what
my
wine
God.
is. It's an antichrist spirit. It makes people speak out of rage, and you don't represent the image and who you were created in. And this is what the Bible says wine is. It is a mocker. It is an antichrist mentality, because Christ, Jesus Christ, was the Prince of Peace. And I was at a Bible study Wednesday night, and they were on the part where Jesus Christ went into the temple, and he ran people out with whips. And the question was presented, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then why did he do something that didn't look peaceful? And then you go on to read, and the Bible says, and it was done so that it was written, the zeal of the Lord has eaten him up. In other words, it was God inside of Jesus voicing his displeasure at what was going on, because it was God's church. Yes. So it was God upsetting Jesus. It wasn't Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He always maintained his peace. This is why he never hit them with whips. He just whipped the whip in the air and they ran out. He never had to hit anybody, so he didn't violate the principle of peace. But yet he had something in him that seemed to be a total contradiction of what he said he was, the Prince of Peace. But he was doing something that most people didn't see the peace in. When a person is created in the image of God, God ultimately designed us to represent him in every facet. He says, let your conversation always be seasoned with salt. Talk spiritually and intelligently. And the Bible says wine is a mocker. It won't allow you to do that. It is a strong, raging drink. It calls you to talk and act like a buffoon. And God is not foolish. So here's a drink that makes you foolish. So how can God validate or promote something that makes you antichrist?
My God. My God, you know, that brings me to why it's so important that we do what the Lord told us to do through the Apostle Paul when he said, study to show yourself approved. Don't just read the word. Get your concordance, get your, you know, your lexicon, your dictionary. Look up these words, because we're looking at it one way, but it's saying something else, much more deeper in meaning, you know, and our perception can really be challenged if we are not digging deeper into the word to really get a revelation of what God is trying to tell us, you know. I have actually seen, and I'm sure many of you listening have seen it as well, where you're walking by or driving past a liquor store, and it'll say wines and spirits. And I always, when I said spirits, I said, my God, it's telling you right on the side that you're in trouble. You're going to be drinking devils or something, you know. I've always, I never really put two and two together until, of course, after I became born again. And I said, my God, it's telling you right on the sign. You know, it's amazing. And yet we have people that are bound and dependent on this alcohol. It has been defined as a chemical dependence. They say it's a disease. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism is a disease. It's hereditary. Some people are predisposed because of their DNA, you know, the generational makeup. What is the significance of alcohol being defined as a chemical dependence?
In our bodies, we are made up of chemicals. We have an organic chemical side of us. And so the way that the world defines it in a natural sense, it has some credibility to it, but they can't go beyond that to really describe what's really going on. They use a whole bunch of technical words, but we can just shorten it up by saying S-I-N, sin. alcoholism, of course, you've already defined it as it's an addiction to the consumption of alcohol. It is a mental illness that has that creates a compulsiveness and want to have illicit behavior resulting from a dependency upon that alcohol. So it causes a chemical unbalance in us, because our bodies are chemical. Our bodies have atoms and neutrons and electrons and acid and our bodies. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are just as natural as they are a spiritual marvel. So So the natural side, they're pretty much explaining it from a natural point of view. It is an alcohol, it is a dependency. But in actuality, what it is, you said it earlier, it's a spirit. Because it's interesting that Jesus says, the word that I speak unto thee, they are what? Spirit.
Spirit.
And they are life.
And life.
Now, that's interesting now. So Jesus says words are spirits. And it's interesting that in the natural, spirits are words. When a person drinks alcohol, the Bible said it is a mocker, a rager. It is a voice. It is a, and when people drink alcohol, they change. They change. Their octave changes plus what changes. A totally happy-go-lucky person can be, hey, how y'all doing? But when they get drunk, ah, get out of my house. I hate you. You make me sick. Their voice changed and their words changed. It dictates a form of speech that is very demonic. And what we're doing when people consume alcohol, you are actually consuming spirit in an alcoholic form because Satan is an imitator of God. Satan is the imitator of God because a lot of people don't know the Holy Spirit is I say it like this. The Bible said the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any what? Two-edged sword.
Two-edged
piercing,
sword.
Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God gets down in your soul and your spirit. And then next it says what? Joints and marrow.
Yes.
In the marrow of the bone is where the blood is produced. Good and healthy blood. So the Bible said the word of God, which is the spirit form, it actually gets into the marrow of the bone. In other words, the blood, the word of God infuses with your blood system. It is the spiritual that and meets the natural. And see, even the doctors know. The first thing it says, beloved above all, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in what? Health. Even as your soul. So it's a principle.
Yes.
What you believe will determine how healthy you are. So your health is a direct correlation of how well you're processing the word of God. So when the word of God is moving like it ought to move, the first thing it does is it has an effect on your bloodline, your blood system, your blood work. It's interesting that the first thing that doctors do to determine your health is they draw blood.
Yes.
So
oh, my God.
Words of spirit. Words of spirit. And spirit gets into the bloodstream. So whether it's God or whether it's Satan, they get in your blood.
My God. See, that's why I knew this was just going to be part one, because now I have I have another question now, because when you look at from a spiritual perspective, people who have, let's just deal with sickness and disease, because we know that every disease and sickness, we know that's part of the curse of the law, sickness and disease. When we are not in the Word of God, and or if we are not thinking according to the word of God. Like, you know, the scripture says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, true, you know. We are supposed to think on those things. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you are, if you're bitter or you have unforgiveness or unrepressed anger or deep-rooted anger, any of these things, they manifest in sickness, don't they?
Exactly. 85% to 90% of all sicknesses are spiritual. I was just talking to a young lady from Maryland the other day, and I kind of got on her a little bit because she said she's going to the doctor and she can't find out what's wrong with her. And I said, how dare you call a doctor before you call me? I said,
my God.
You only the manufacturer knows the product better than anybody else. You got to go to the manufacturer. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says the curse causeless shall not come. The biggest mistakes people make with chemical dependencies anything, they go to get natural help before they talk to the manufacturer.
You got to go to the manufacturer and find out what's going on. Because if you don't find out what's going on, then you're going to repeat it. Because here's the principle. God calls us sheep. And sheep, for by and large, for most purposes, they're the dumbest animals on this earth. So people really don't know their problems. They know their symptoms. And that's what that's what alcoholism does. It doesn't really, it's a masking of what the real problem is. I never forget this little quick story. There was a man that was on the corner. He used to drink every day. He just used to just drink himself to death. And God told me, I want you to start praying for that man. So I would drive by that neighborhood every day, and I would stretch my hands while I'm driving. I stretch one of my hands out, and I would pray for him. He would see me. He knew what I was doing. He knew I was a preacher. And God didn't tell me to minister to him. He just said, pray for him. And I kept doing that for weeks and weeks at a time. And I got a little prideful because God was answering a lot of my prayers, but I didn't see this prayer look like it was being answered. So I got a little frustrated. I said, God, why you got me praying for the man? He ain't changing. And God got upset with me, and he said one word. He said, depression.
Whoa.
And I said, okay. So then I started praying about depression. I drove out there a few weeks later, and I didn't see him anymore. Didn't see him for a year. Didn't see him for 2 years. Then I got a call to come out to some church way out there in the country in Decatur, way out there in the woods. I got lost with two GPSs. It was so far in the woods. And they had to send a deacon to guide me on down. Now, that's how far in the woods it was. But when I got there, lo and behold, look at this newly appointed deacon on the front row. It was that guy.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't seen him in 2 years. After the service, he came up and hugged me. He says, I hated alcohol. I didn't like it. I didn't want to drink it. He said, I was just simply told that it drowns your sorrows and it helps you forget about things. I lost a good job and my wife left me and took my children and wouldn't let me see them. And I was so depressed that I just started drinking because I was really depressed. I hated alcohol, but it took away the pain. It numbed me. So I'm finding out in a lot of cases of alcohol, while it is a main corporate, you know, the groups, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, see, they're attacking the wrong premise. See, they're trying to get people to get treated so they won't drink. But, see, alcohol is really not the treatment for what they're going on. It's just a masking agent. The problem is people need Christ. So you don't see those mothers preaching Christ. You don't see all these artists coming against and preaching Christ. They're trying to attack it from a natural standpoint. And what they do is you're treating the symptom and not the problem. You know, they have cold seasons a lot of time, and they advertise all these flu shots. They advertise all these Robitussins and NyQuil. You know, if those things work, why do you have to keep buying them year after year? Because if you know if you read the packaging, they say this is for the symptoms of runny nose and this and this. See, they can't cure the cold. They just deal with the symptoms. Because of the cold, you're going to sneeze, sniffle, be congested. So the medicine doesn't deal with the problem. The medicine deals with the symptoms.
My goodness. And so that cold will always come back.
Yes. And that's why even they teach you in when they go to those 12-step programs, what do they teach you? Alcoholism can never be cured.
Yes.
Why do they teach you that? So you can keep coming back to their revolving doors. So you have a need for them. It's a racket to get money. They have no interest in trying to cure you because you are their source of income.
My. And that's exactly how. Yes. I'm sorry. I was just saying that's exactly how it is with that industry, with pharmaceutical industries and with, you know, alcohol, you know, beer companies and things like that. They thrive off of trying to mask or cover up the symptoms.
Exactly. They have no interest in curing you because they can't cure sin.
My God, isn't it interesting that the Lord said that the root of his problem was depression?
Uh-huh.
So that was the root of his drinking. That was the root of it. Wow. So I need to ask you this. Is alcoholism, yeah. And we've heard this said many times, that alcoholism is a disease. And if it is a disease, how do you treat a physical condition spiritually?
There's no physical cure for a spiritual problem. Alcoholism is never really the problem. It's one of the many problems that is created when you misdiagnose the real problem, which is sin. Everything.
Mm, yes.
What the Holy Spirit defines sin is this. In John, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin. And then he says, go on to say, sin is not believing on him. See,
yes.
When this man got depressed, he didn't trust that God would handle the depression. He put his trust in alcohol. So that's what made it a sin. The sin was that he didn't trust in Christ. What happened is the symptoms of his sin led to a dependency on alcohol. Think about it. Let me break down the word. Medicine.
Yes.
Medicine. The breakdown of it is the medication of sin.
Oh, my God.
See, sin can't be cured by man, so the only thing they can do is medicate. Medicate don't mean to cure. It means to succor. It means to comfort because you really can't help. So that's why the Bible says when a man is getting ready to die, yeah, give him some wine. You know, you can't. All you can do is make him comfortable. You can't help him. See, depression was the real problem.
Oh.
But here's the deal is that the man had to constantly drink. When he had to constantly drink, he knows there got to be at some point in his life where he got to not drink. At some point, he's going to sober up. But when you sober up, you find out the depression hadn't gone anywhere. It's just like darkness. You know, as the Bible said, walk in the light, is he in the light? You know why the scripture says that? Because it's a unique thing about darkness. As long as this earth is here, that darkness is here. Whenever you go into your house and you cut on the light and it's dark, and you cut on the light, guess what? The light has not eradicated the darkness. It simply dominates the darkness. Because
as soon as you cut
that light off, the darkness that you thought was eradicated was just dominated. It's still there. It's still there. So what happens is when people medicate you, or when people try to deal with the chemical dependency part, when people try to heal you in terms of medically or chemically, it doesn't work because it's not the real problem. The real problem is a sin issue. There's a distrust in God somewhere. So it is a disease because you break down the word disease. It's what? It's a dis-ease. Your body is at a dis-ease. Yeah. So it is a dis-ease because you're not at ease when sin has a control in your life. So you can medicate it and you can treat it, but you cannot cure it. It's just like they tell you for those incurable diseases like AIDS. They say, well, we have treatment for that. Notice, they don't say cure. They say treatment.
Right, treatment.
That's what the medical industry is into. They say the word cure only when they're raising money. Oh, help us find a cure for cancer. Please give to this. But then when you go to them, they say, well, look, we got some treatment. They don't use cure when they talk about healing. They only use
oh
my cure
God.
When they raise the money.
Wow. Oh, my God. Pastor Battle, I don't want to stop this conversation. I don't want to stop this wealth of knowledge. We have about 1 minute left, and I'm going to ask you to come back again on next Saturday and be with us the same time, same station, to pick up where we have left off on this powerful, powerful, eye-opening, enlightening, and illuminating discussion on alcoholism. Will you be back with us?
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Listen, you guys, meet with us here again next weekend, next Saturday morning at 11:30. Same time, same station. We're going to pick right up where we left off. And listen, take notes. Take notes. Let a friend know that we're on the air. And we are getting a wealth of knowledge so that we can walk victoriously in the name of Jesus. I love you guys. See you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless.
Amen.